The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Senator Rick Santorum explains that it is the embracing of the ideals laid out by our founders that makes America great.
You have to be alive in order to appreciate liberty. And of course, you can't have true happiness unless you're free to do so. And the principal meaning of happiness back then was an understanding of true happiness. And of course, true happiness comes from doing what God wants you to do in your life.
Great Americans to me. Hopefully you're great Christians. God knows we need a whole lot of people who are real serious about God. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I both welcome you to Life Today. And we're thrilled today to, I believe, welcome a patriot who has written a book titled American Patriots. And I'll be honest with you, I think he is one. And this is actually a phenomenal book. It's one you can read. Most people don't spend a lot of time reading, I'm sorry to say. And they read too often for entertainment, not for enlightenment or to be educated about truth and about real principles and about people who matter because they made a difference that matters, because they were principled and they were patriots. And these are some you've not heard of. A few of them you may have heard of, but most of them you've not heard of, and yet they were just as important as those who are very visible. At least one time they were visible in American history. Now they tend to be ignored and overlooked or even cast aside, and certainly not looked at in the light of the strength of character and the influence that built that character. And this book reminds us of that. It's written by a great patriot, a great senator, Rick Santorum, and a presidential candidate who said the things to our nation that we desperately not only need to hear, I believe we must hear. Would you welcome Senator Rick Santorum to Life Today? Senator, I'm glad to have you here. It's an honor. It's an honor. You know, I'm a Protestant evangelical, and I'm talking to a Catholic. I've had Catholic priests here. You don't have their clerical.
I'm a Catholic evangelical.
Yeah, there you are. You really are. I think it would be totally appropriate for both of us, as representing our concern, as well as our appreciation for the Protestant evangelical community of faith and the Catholic community of faith, we could offer an apology. I want to offer one on behalf of evangelicals and Protestants for not having the proper impact on planet Earth and on our nation that we should have. We have not won hearts and minds. We have not seen the transformation of the person and the renewing of the mind so you can know, not hope, wish, know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Would you agree that Catholics have some apologizing to do, too?
Absolutely. I have some apologizing to do. I say Catholics in general, yes. I just look in the sphere of politics, and the influence that Catholics have had in the sphere of politics has, in my opinion, been not a positive thing in the last 30 or 40 years. And I throw myself into that. I mean, I look at, I'll never forget in the debates when I was out there, trying to speak for truth and trying to get that across. And I was out there on the edge and, getting very few questions. And when I did, I was angry. And so I was sort of barking at whoever the person was, because I didn't like the way they asked the question, or they always asked me the same question about, I got all the abortion questions and all the gay rights questions and all that stuff. And something, they're trying to pigeonhole me, and I'm getting mad. And my wife came up to me in the middle of one of the debates, I'll never forget, and I walked over to her, and I thought I'd just given this real great answer, just stuck it back in the guy's face, and she looked at it and she said, "Chill." And she said, what happened to God's love? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the thing here, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it really
we
is.
We are not reflecting God's love. We are not serving Him. And, you know, we're just getting too wrapped up in what's going on here and not keeping focused on what our objective is.
And love wins, and love never fails.
Amen.
And by the way, you've heard me in past days, but I was pretty strong, pretty outspoken.
I've seen a few clips in the past.
Oh, yeah. I was scary.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. You know, I tell everybody I gave people so much hell, nobody wanted to go there. I mean, I was called God's angry man. And here's the truth of the matter is, I was angry. I was angry at what was going on. We had a businessman here named Eddie Childs who said, "I am mad too, Eddie," bumper stickers. And everybody had one. "I'm mad too, Eddie." There was plenty to be angry about. There is today. We ought to be angry, righteous indignation. But I think that really and truly, that anger oftentimes causes people to think we don't love them.
Yeah.
And people don't think we love them, and we're done.
I'll tell you, I do a lot of speaking on pro-life issues. I mean, it's where my heart is. I mean, it's a personal issue for me. It's also one I think is at the core of, we can't be a country that's blessed by God if we allow over 1 million children to be killed in this country a year through abortion. So I'm passionate about that. But I do most of my speaking not to pro-life groups. I speak at crisis pregnancy centers. And the reason I do is because, to me, that is the right face of the pro-life movement. These are centers all around this country that have blossomed over the last 20 years that are there to do one thing: love that young girl.
Mm-hmm.
Love her as much as they love that little baby in the womb. And they're going to love her whether she has that child, and they're going to love her just as much if she makes the wrong choice and aborts, because she's going to be hurting either way. And that, you know, we had our share of mountaintop moralizers preaching fire and brimstone in the pro-life movement. And we weren't getting anywhere. It's when we started the love,
right,
that I think we've seen a transformation in this country, and younger people in particular who have experienced this. I know, polls show, they are more pro-life than our generation.
Well, that demonstration of love speaks so much louder than just the words.
Amen.
Saying you should love someone.
Amen.
Well, I had a transformation of love in my life because I found a verse of scripture. In James, it says, "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God."
Mm.
And if the wrath of man had worked the righteousness of God, I had enough wrath and anger to work all kind of righteousness. And I really believe that there was plenty to be angry about and disturbed about.
You start this book. But I deal with that today.
I understand that.
I'm guilty.
But a lot of people want me to get angry again and just take off. And I'm pretty forceful. You know, I'm not the kind of guy I'm not Casper Milquetoast. I'm going to make a point. But the driving force inside of me is compassion and love. And everybody that watches and knows that's true. And anybody that represents that opposite is totally representing an untruth. You start this book, which is just phenomenal. And it's not tough to read. You know, Jay Richards, a Catholic, and I wrote a book, Indivisible.
Yes.
It's a worthy read, but you've got to plug in. You've got to get your mind in there and get with it. But it'll give you the principles for why things matter. But you start this book with the importance of life, and you point out that our founders, even in the Declaration, the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they started with life, and then you kind of played the game of kind of reversing the order to show that if that first one's not right, the other one, including real happiness, is not even possible. Because if we don't value life and protect life, then we ultimately will devalue it in every area. We Amen. Will begin to devalue people. We'll devalue the things that matter when we devalue the things that matter most.
That's right. No, our founders put them in order for a reason. Because the one foundation builds on the next. I mean, they could have said happiness, life, liberty, or liberty, life, but it wouldn't have made any sense. You have to have life. You have to be alive in order to appreciate liberty. And of course, you can't have true happiness unless you're free to do so. And you have freedom of conscience and freedom of to do what I always I learned this from a pastor in Sioux City, Iowa. Because I always thought, you know, in writing this book, I always thought, you know, life and liberty were, you know, I understood those concepts. But this idea of happiness, I mean, I just thought about, you know, life and liberty are such great, profound rights. Happiness. I mean, I always remember a pastor I heard a long time ago say, you know, happiness. I mean, this is what Americans want for their kids. You ask American moms what they want for their kids. They want their kids to be happy. I mean, do you want that on your tombstone? Here's Elias James Robinson. He was happy. I mean, is that what you want? No. I mean, it always bugged me that our founders had put happiness as the goal, pursuing happiness.
It's not a guarantee, by the way. It's a pursuit.
I understand, but what I found out, and they referred me to the dictionary definitions at the time of our founders, that happiness back then didn't mean what it meant today. That the principal meaning of happiness back then was an understanding of true happiness. And of course, true happiness comes from doing what God wants you to do in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what they were saying. That life, liberty, and pursuing what God wants you to do in your life is what our this document was laid out here, the Declaration of Independence. And to me, that is the foundation of our country. That's why I wrote this book. I talked about founding principles, the founding principle being in the Declaration of Independence, and then why these men and women during the Revolutionary time, you know, fought for those principles. Because before the Declaration, you could have asked people from all the different 13 colonies why they were fighting, and they'd have given you 13 different reasons. Mm-hmm. Once we had that Declaration, once we here's the why of America, here's what we're about. Then people were willing to make sacrifices. They were willing to do so. And I gave a speech at CPAC the other day, and I was doing some research on this whole concept, and I found a quote from a guy named Viktor Frankl, who survived Auschwitz, and he said that if there is a great enough why, people were willing to suffer anyhow, and they were willing to suffer any consequence if it's worth it. And the problem we have in America is we're getting rid of the why. We're getting rid of what we're here to do. And it's just becoming about minimizing suffering because there's nothing really anymore to suffer for. And if that's what America becomes, just, you know, comfort and not a great purpose, not a great goal, that we're here for a reason beyond ourselves, then we're just going to focus a lot on placating suffering, and that's not going to be a great nation.
I think we're where we are right now in the direction we're headed, the lack of principles, prevailing principles, even an understanding of their importance, because people who claim to know the truth don't live with the freedom, including responsibility, that freedom offers. And when freedom's blessings come, they become arrogant and pompous and say, look what we did, rather than look what the blessings of God and His truth and the freedom we've been granted and the creative ability that the Creator gave us to create wealth and prosperity, to meet needs. We have suddenly begin to think we did it. And we did it without meaningful principles, which we couldn't have without those principles. Now those principles are being discarded. The ability to succeed is being cast aside. And who would have ever thought that we would have taken prayer out of the schools, and it wouldn't have happened, Senator, if we hadn't first taken it out of our own homes and our daily prayer life, because we never would have allowed it to happen. That's why some schools still are going to pray at the football games. They're going to pray. They're going to say, we're doing it. You know why those communities are still praying at home?
That's right.
We got out of the schools because it wasn't important at home. The other thing is that who would have ever thought that we would be literally deciding as a nation and political parties totally committing to or readjusting to accommodate failed lifestyles, principles cast aside, and we would be taking life, the greatest gift of all, and counting it unimportant in some instances, terminating it. American Holocaust, our Holocaust, is abortion, rampant uncontrolled abortion, monetarily prosperous abortionists and clinics. And then we're voting on God's first institution, marriage between a man and a woman, as though it takes some rocket scientist to figure out God made man and woman a nice fit.
Complementary.
Great. And we're actually going to decide, and parties are either going to commit to or be asked to adjust to. Who would have ever thought it would happen?
But the reason that happened is because of what we've done to marriage in this country. I mean, what is marriage in America today? I mean, I've seen this in publications. This is, why are you denying people the right to marry? Why are you denying people what marriage is, which is two people who love each other? My answer, if that's all marriage is, if all marriage is two people who love each other, fine, don't let them get married. But that's not what marriage is. Marriage is a foundational institution upon which men and women come together as complementary, as made by God, to build a foundation for the survival of the society. To have children and to have that platform upon which children can be raised in the best and healthiest way. That's what marriage is. Marriage is about...
Anybody in this studio agree with that? That's what marriage is?
We've been told and almost warned that our faith does not mix with our concern for the country. It's politically incorrect. And we've accepted that.
Name another country in the world that is as tolerant and as tolerant toward a diversity of different opinions, that provides opportunity and equality for people across the board.
There is not.
And
one.
Why is
Never
it? It's
one.
Because of our Judeo-Christian heritage.
Absolutely.
If you go to other countries based on other religions, there is no equality. There's no equality between men and women. There's no equality between rich and poor. We are unique, and the idea that we can walk away from the foundation of what creates that equality, which is we are all children of God, and still maintain the kind of freedoms and tolerance and all the things that have been the hallmark of society, show me where it happens. Show me where it happens.
It won't happen apart from God and His principles.
It has not happened. It's
failed. Truth makes us free, and its truth keeps us free. The truth that sets us free is essential to keep us free. The principles that allow us to build on a solid foundation are the principles that have to remain in order to secure the foundation and build the walls. This book is fabulous. It is absolutely fabulous. It's not a hard read. I don't think any reading's hard, because I read to be enlightened and to be educated. The Bible's not a hard read if you go to it to get life. Not arguments, not mere sermons, but life. They're words of life. And really, this is inspiration. I want you to get the book. Do you appreciate Senator Rick Santorum? Do you thank God for him? I want to ask you, I want you to do another program, and I want to ask you point blank, and we'll have time to discuss in the next program. Do you think it's too late for America? Do you think we could correct our perilous course, which must be corrected? Do you think it's possible to correct it?
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about how we can do it. Would you like to hear the senator talk about that in another program? How can we the people, and that's what it's going to take, not some party, not some politician, not even a president.
Amen.
Corrupt people could have Jesus as president, and we would still rot. The walls would come down. The foundation would be shaken. We've got to have our hearts and minds changed by the truth that sets us free. And I'm encouraging you to get this book. It is in the bookstores. And I'll tell you something. We're doing something you're going to love. We do what works. We do what Jesus said do. We put the arms of God around a hurting, broken world. We try to be a good neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor, like the Good Samaritan. I want you to look. I want you to look and see if you see some faces ready for love, in need of love, and would you be the expression of love? Would you extend the hands of God to these little ones? Just look at them.
It's not a new problem, and it's easy to be overwhelmed by its size. So many statistics laid before us. Of course, they're important, but as we look at numbers, we can sometimes lose sight of what's behind them. So what is behind these numbers among those masses? Well, there's Martino, Bronco, Vita, Adelina, Antonio, Rosidaya, Victoria, Maria, Sabina, Ana Paula, Mateo, Generosa, Adriana, Dina, Nana, Neza, Paula, Ezekiel, Jindinia, Fernanda, Esperanza, Elena, Mayodi, Estari, Ayosa, Cecilia, Etina. When it comes to numbers, the most important of all may be one. Just start by helping one.
Oh boy, the most important. Can I take it one step further? Not just the one. in need of help, but the one who will help. The one who will be the difference maker by choosing to make a difference in one life or several. I don't know what happens to you when you look at those children, but as I look at those little faces, I saw one there in the line that looked shy. And I thought, how precious, you were shy. I was shy. People find that hard to believe about me. It was truly a miracle of God that the kid who would never give a report in class suddenly began to speak to millions with a boldness that could only come from God. One that was noticed by God. But as I noticed him and looked, I found myself saying, I wish others would see him the way I'm looking. And I felt like I sensed the Lord whispering, I just wish they would look at him the way I look at him. I love them all. Gave my life for them, and I've asked you to share life with them. That's what we're asking you to do. Our program is Life Today because we want to share life with you every day and touch you with life and love and truth and let you know God cares about you, but also encourage and inspire you to share that love with little children like that. It's not just a statistic, not just numbers who perish or who are hungry, but the numbers that we can feed. And Betty, our viewers have been the answers to the prayers of missionaries and parents praying for their children all over the world. And I believe you will be during this last week now of mission feeding, this time of the year, when we need your help to feed 400,000 children and add 25,000 more that we found who are starving. They desperately need our help. And we've got a miracle matching gift that just came, a $500,000 challenge gift that will match what you give today. And Betty, I'm praying every viewer will give.
James, I'm so grateful for each one of our viewers, every one of you that have been a part of what Life Outreach has been able to do, the children we've been able to reach, like these children. God does care about every one of them, just as He cares about you. So join with us again and again. Don't get tired of us asking, because we'll keep asking, because there's a need. Please join with us and let's help these children.
I know some of you know that Betty took a little time off, quite behind the loss of our daughter, Robin. Need a little time to regroup. But I'm going to tell you something. We love that girl, the mother of three teenagers, our baby girl. What a way to spend Christmas and New Year's. Can I tell you something? I doubt if there's a viewer watching that wouldn't have said, Betty and James, if I could have brought your Robin something that would make her well, we'd have brought it. And I believe you. I believe you. Well, I'm telling you, there's something that'll make those children well. It's nourishment and food and the love the missionaries offer. But listen to me. Please listen to me. They're full hearts and empty hands if we don't put the ability in the hands of the missionaries. They are ready and in place. We got to give them the food. And this last week, I'm asking every one of you to respond. I want you to give the best gift you can. It'll be double. If you could help us care for 100 children with a $1,000 gift, do it. We'll be able to feed them for several months. It'll be double to 200. 30, 50, or 100, 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. It'll be doubled. Would you go to the phone, use your bank card like a check, or go online, lifetoday.org. Make the best gift you can. If you write a check, make it to Life. That's what you're giving. But call us and tell us what you're sending. Would you do it? Please. If you get a busy, be determined. Press through and say, I am going to share the life and love of God today. Please do it. And I thank you for it.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to severe hunger. You can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a child's life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in our feeding program throughout Africa, we must immediately provide for an additional 25,000 children in the hardest hit areas of drought. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's friends have set a $500,000 matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children can be doubled to impact six children.
$50 to help feed 5 children can be doubled to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children can be doubled to help feed and introduce Jesus to 20 children. As a thank you, we would like to send you A Good Word for a Great Day, a 365-day devotional providing a word of inspiration and promise for each new day. With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible to help engage your children and grandchildren in God's Word. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Nearly every child that's come up has had the traces of malnutrition in their hair and a big belly like this. And this is amazing. This is because we're in the rural areas. And there's a lot more malnutrition in the rural areas than where we've been before. And nearly every child that we've seen has had the discoloration of the hair and the large stomach that shows the malnutrition. And you can make a difference. What you do and how you support Life Outreach makes the difference in this child's life. And there's a whole line of them here. 3 children can be fed for $30 a month, 5 for $50, and 10 for $100. Please go to the phone, call, because you can make a difference. What you do does count in this little girl's life.
Betty and I just say from the depth of our heart, thank you for noticing those little children, giving them life. We'll send you the book and the Bible and the little bronze we talked about. And today, if you'd like to have American Patriots, listen, great inspiration, enlightenment, yes, education. The principles and the patriotism necessary to turn our country. I'm going to be talking to the senator about what do we need to do. It's not just an election. We got to win hearts and minds. Absolutely critical. Would you say thanks to Senator Santorum again? Thank you, Senator. Look forward to talking to you about hope for our country, because there is hope.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thanks for watching. Encourage your friends to watch and catch the senator. We'll be talking about hope for the future.
James and Betty Robison, July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as Governor Mike Huckabee, international author and speaker Christine Kane, Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, speaker and best-selling author Lisa Bevere, and many more, including musical guests such as Phillips Craig and Dean. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robison. Go to lifetoday.org.
The foundational unit of society upon which you can build a just civilization is the family.
Rick Santorum, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.